Welcome back to Run the Draw. It is week 13 of the college football season. We are headed into rivalry week. Rivalry.
That's a weird word.
It is a weird word. I am willing to bet one of us will fuck it up a handful of times today. That's my co-host, Aaron. He's talking.
Hello. Hi.
I'm also talking. This is Chase. We're here to talk college football. We're here to talk alcohol and food. We are here to talk alt-right websites, because this week we are sponsored by Breitbart, Breitbart.com.
Breitbart.com, yep. Use code RUNTHEDRAW at checkout and you'll get a free free access to a quiz called Is My Coach a Cuck? And if you purchase on... If you purchase on Black Friday, you'll also get a list of the top 25 alpha male coaches in college football. Let's make college football great again. Breitbart.com / college football.
Oh my gosh. Did friend of the pod, Mike Gundy, send you that link?
No, but man, I tell you, he got the alt-right college football Twitter in a real tizzy with his comments that we'll get to a little bit later.
I like that.
He sure did. So you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/runthedraw. You can find us on Instagram, instagram.com/runthedraw. We have a Facebook page that no one follows because they are probably afraid to admit to their parents that they listen to a podcast such as this. I know I am.
Yeah.
You can send us emails at runthedrawpodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Airbnb. Find us on Zillow. Go ahead and check out our Zestimate of what this podcast is worth. Any other social media? Is that all of it?
I think so. I think that's it. Delectable.
Cool. Delectable, yep. Dude, I am in Wisconsin.
Yeah. How was that?
It's cold. We came here for a funeral, which was a little unexpected. So not great news. 24 degrees outside right now. It's 5 PM. It's dark because sunset today at 4:22.
Ooh, 4:22. So, wow.
Yeah. So it snowed yesterday, so that happened. So we are I'm drinking a lot, basically, is what I'm telling you.
I mean, that sounds not the worst.
It is not the worst. You are not in Wisconsin.
No.
Are you drinking anything interesting? While we cast?
Yeah, I'm drinking a Trader Joe's seltzer with a splash. It's a seltzer water flavored with blood orange and orange juice.
It's pretty responsible of you.
Yeah, I mean, it's early, you know. What about you?
I'm trying to drink as much Wisconsin beer as I can.
I'm PBR? In Wisconsin.
Had a PBR last night.
Yeah. They might go out of business soon.
Yeah, they'll be fine. It's just contract brewing. It's fine. Someone will agree to brew their beer, I'm sure of it.
Should we do it?
Maybe. I mean, people have tattoos of Pabst Blue Ribbon, so I think they're probably going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that checks out.
I'm drinking a Capital Brewery Winter Skull. There's a weird symbol above the A in the word skull that I'm not familiar with. It's described as a full-bodied beer with warm amber hue, showing off its rich malt body. And I'm here for people showing off their rich malt bodies, and I like it.
I like that.
I really like that. So it's good. I'm enjoying it.
Well, good. I'm glad, despite the circumstances, you're at least enjoying some of some of Wisconsin's finer, finer offerings.
Yeah, you got to. Did you watch any college football last week?
College what?
Football. It's like soccer with your hands.
Oh, no. No, just
it's
kidding.
It's soccer with your hands played by Republicans.
Well, depending on your definition of Republican. Yeah, I did watch some. I watched a little South Carolina, watched a little Tejas, watched bits and pieces of West Virginia, Oklahoma State. I watched a good bit of clearly the marquee game of the weekend, that old rivalry, Ohio State, Maryland. That was a real
classic matchup.
Classic. Yeah. I mean, if you just close your eyes and I say college football, you think Maryland, Ohio State. So, yeah, let's start. Why don't we start with South Carolina?
How'd they do? Let's do that. But I was just going to say, you know how some of those minor league baseball teams have like funny themes?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
So they'll do like a taco hat or whatever.
Yeah.
And they'll like, just like.
That's funny. The New Orleans team actually played a game against the Sacramento team. And it was tacos. Yeah, it was tacos versus burritos for some reason. Or no, it was tacos versus gumbo or something. Or tacos
awesome.
Versus po' boys. Yeah, but they had special uniforms made.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But it's smart because then they market the hats and then people go on and buy the fitted hat because it has like a taco on it.
Yeah.
Anyways, Under Armour should do that with Maryland and make crab cake uniforms.
Yeah. I mean, the flag's certainly not doing it for them. So,
Jesus.
Might as well just put a brown lump of food right on there.
So let's talk about South Carolina football.
Yeah.
South Carolina played the Mox of Chattanooga. Used to be the Moccasins, Indian tribe, changed to the Mockingbird, state bird of Tennessee. But we also found out in the middle of last week, at some juncture, I can't remember when, that at one time they also used a shoe as a mascot.
Yeah, this is so they covered everything except for the snake, the moccasin. I mean, I guess good job, Chattanooga. I mean, they moved away from the Indian tribe, which is problematic. Moved to a shoe, which is also problematic just because it's not good. but I think they should go back to being the shoe. In 2018, you should be the shoe, not in like 1992 or whenever it was. Like they were just ahead of their time.
Yeah, in 1992, you need to just embrace your offensive name because that was, you know. Disenfranchised people groups didn't have a loud enough voice in 1992, so you could call your name whatever you wanted.
Yep. So
that was brought to our attention by a friend of the pod,
Alex Emily Jones.
Beth, so.
Oh, Alex oh, Jones.
Alex Jones.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I'm really working on this Breitbart theme thing. So anyway.
Yeah. I mean, first time listeners this week are going to be like, why the fuck did I listen to that podcast?
The water's making the shoes gay. So that's why they changed to to the birds. Anyway, carry on.
Anyways, South Carolina played college football on Saturday, which is what we're really here to discuss. They did good.
They did good.
They did real good.
49-9.
49-9. They were favored by 30-something points. I think you did not take the Gamecocks.
Correct. Yeah.
But you should have because they covered. Good teams win, great teams cover.
Yeah, that checks out.
Jake Bentley, 25 for 29, 339 yards, 4 touchdowns. That was his tied his all-time record. We got to see what's-his-face at running back, Fenwick. 17 carries for 112 yards. That was super fun to watch. Debo had a good day. Dude, it was just fun all around.
Yeah. We should play them more often.
How are you feeling about our offense? I want to talk to you about our offense.
I mean, Chattanooga is not good at all. So we look, I mean, it looked good. It looked like it had rhythm. It looked like it had a philosophy behind it. Like it looked, the offense looked good. But it was also not a good defense they're facing. So I feel okay. I don't feel great though, because you know, we play Clemson this week, who has probably four future NFLers on their defensive line, and probably one or two as backups. So it's not going to be as easy. But again, you know, during some of the spurrier years when we'd play teams like this, you know, the offense could never get into a rhythm. You know, we'd end up winning, you know, we'd beat Wofford 17-4-3 or something.
Yeah.
So again, easy team, but good to see it with some perspective and with some rhythm. How are you feeling about the offense?
Dude, I feel incredible about the offense.
Man.
Yeah. I just think that Brian McClendon has turned out to be the offensive coordinator that you hope for. And I feel like maybe if he sticks around, Muschamp may have finally gotten that offensive thing off his back. In 25 games under Kurt Roper, South Carolina scored more than 40 points twice. Two out of 25 games. The Gamecocks have done that twice this month and three times in Brian McClendon's first season.
That is great. Yeah.
We're averaging 32.8 points per game this season. We only averaged higher than that once in the Steve Spurrier era, which was 2013, and we averaged 34 points a game. And we still don't have the benefit of that Marshall game on our record. So the Akron game will make up for it. But you instinctively bet against us this week because you didn't like the spread and our ability to score points. And
that's true.
I think that was pretty fair. Like, that was a pretty fair assessment on your part. But the reality is that somehow we have an offense that scores points.
Yeah. Happy to be wrong on that one. Really interesting.
Well, I just trust that Muschamp's going to build out the defense. Like, we're lacking. We've got like 700 injured people, but
right. Right. Yeah, I did. You know, I feel, all things considered, I feel pretty good about this team. There's still some results I wish had gone our way during the season, but I certainly feel better about this team in week 12 than I did in week 0. So, and totally. That was not the case last year or the year before that, or probably the year before that either. So,
truth. Okay. We had some big losses this week. Big in the sense that teams lost to teams they were not supposed to lose to.
Yeah. I think you're talking about Iowa State. Just kidding. We had West Virginia losing to Oklahoma State.
How much did that bum you out?
This bummed me out intensely. To me, West Virginia was like the best chance to really, I don't know, kind of blow up the playoff everybody was expecting to see and really like, just make the end of the season a lot more interesting. I think they still have an outside chance, I believe, because I think if they beat Oklahoma this week, they still play in the Big 12 title game. And if they win the Big 12 title game, they still have a chance to a somewhat outside chance or a very outside chance, but they still have a chance to get in the playoff. But I was really looking forward to that. So that was, what else happened? What else we got?
Well, you joked about Iowa State, but they did lose.
They did.
They lost to Texas, who is back and here to stay.
Definitely back. Okay, cool. Hook 'em. Did you see Tom Herman's wife wore that t-shirt was wearing that t-shirt after the game?
No, they made t-shirts. That's incredible. I love everything about that.
Yeah, pretty strong flex.
That's incredible. I love that.
Yeah. Who else lost? Maryland lost. as we talked about.
Yeah, we should have talked about that game.
Basically Maryland lost because they went for two in overtime. Or was it overtime? Or was it the end of the game? I can't even remember right now.
Overtime. Yeah, it was overtime.
Yeah, so they went for two, tried to end the game, which I thought was the right move. Didn't go their way. Actually, because of a bad pass, had a guy open, just missed him. How do you feel about that call? You usually like this call, right?
Yeah, I usually like it. Yeah, I think I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was the right move.
I like that.
Yeah. What else we got? Was that it? All the big stuff?
I think that's it. This was really not the best weekend for football, although some interesting things did happen. This is not like the heavy hitter schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a text message.
Yeah.
Text him sock.
It's my wife texting me, and it's coming through the podcast. And I don't know why that's happening. So, she did it again. Great. We can. And stop texting me. Do not send it. Stop, stop, stop. She just texted me ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding. So that's great.
Yeah.
God, stop.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? It's a fun game while you deal with that. Nebraska, okay, Michigan State.
I turned off sound effects.
Did you happen to see this game?
Which game?
Nebraska, Michigan State.
No, I did not. What happened?
They win 9 points to 6 points. Nebraska scores all 9 points in the fourth quarter.
That's some sad football.
It's so sad. So I love that. And now Nebraska 4-7. So
Scott Frost.
Scott Frost. All right.
Should we check in on our buddy Garth Brooks?
Yeah, let's move to Garth talk. Run the Garth.
I'm going to do this live.
Ooh.
Fuck it. We'll do it live. He posted a video. Do you want to see what he has to say?
Let's do it.
There's no promise it's good, but.
Are we on video?
Yes.
Will you sing a song?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my God. What are you going to sing?
Whatever you want. Will you go to the dance?
Will you sing Amazing Grace?
Yes. Okay, you want to try that?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Welcome to Off Talk, everyone.
I was lost, but now I'm found.
You really should see this.
Was blind,
it's so awkward.
But now I see.
Woo! I just sang my third verse!
Oh,
well, that's what Garth did this week. He sang with someone. Who was that? That was Adrian Bankert.
Good for her. Him? Her? Her.
Last thing we'll say about Garth before we move on. The Garth Stadium Tour. He announced two more dates. Ben Hill Griffin Stadium in Gainesville, Florida.
Ooh.
Hashtag Garth in Gainesville.
Who?
And Heinz Field, May 18th. Hashtag Garth in Pittsburgh.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about football stuff now, huh? Our beautiful boy is back.
He back.
Oh, hi. Thanks for checking in. I'm still a piece of garbage.
Wait, what?
Les Miles, head coach of your Kansas Jayhawks football.
So remember when we were asked twice by Mike Wong how we would handle this if we were AD of Kansas? And I gave a real answer that was like, get a young up-and-coming coach with a fun offense and do that kind of thing. This was the complete opposite of that, but also the right answer, I think.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't say hire Les Miles, honestly.
Well, I didn't say it because it seemed preposterous. Like, it seemed just not like just so far. It seemed less likely than like Kansas being bought by a pro team or whatever you said. So, yeah, I think it was the right move. I'm excited to see what happens. And should he should coach this week, right? They play Texas. Right.
Yeah. Yes. 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 He should coach this week.
So that's not happening, but it should happen. And I hope it does.
I have a hot take on this topic.
Yeah. Let's do it. What is it?
You ready for it?
Yeah.
I don't like this hire.
Okay. So go on.
I don't like it. I think that the players that played for Les Miles loved him. But I don't know that he necessarily falls or like goes down in the record book as like incredible recruiter.
Right.
And, you know, it's easy to recruit to an SEC West school that has won a national championship. Easier, at least. Yep. And that's what he had when he went to LSU. And so I think he's going to have a much harder time recruiting to Kansas. And I think he was definitely not known as a great game day coach.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which is how you put it when we texted. I think that's an apt way to describe it. So I actually think you're not getting a ton of value with the hire.
Okay.
Reasonably low salary, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, $2.75 million per season, which now constitutes reasonably low, in the year 2018 in college football.
Gives them some money to go get some coordinators.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing it's going to bring in is a guy who knows how to run a program, and has run a program that wins, and. I don't know if you could say that for a lot of the previous Kansas coaches. So
can you please show some respect for Mark Mangino?
I'm sorry. That is Orange Bowl participant Mark Mangino. I do stand corrected, sort of. Didn't he get sued for doing a bunch of gnarly stuff? Yeah, he did. Also, he's on that Breitbart top 25 alpha coaches list, if anybody was wondering. Still for hire.
He's coaching at Kentucky now. What? And I think he's an assistant coach or something, or a position coach or something.
Man, what position? The couch? Oh!
And his... Twitter handle is Keep Sawing Wood.
That man has never sawed wood. Not once.
He needs to change it to Keep Getting Seconds.
Keep chewing. Okay.
Keep chewing food. I don't think chewing food's his problem.
Maybe he should keep chewing. They say, you know, if you chew your food longer, that's a way to manage your caloric intake. Okay. I feel bad enough now about making fun of Mark Mangino.
Do you?
Yeah. No. Okay. I'm over it. I felt bad for a second.
Les Miles, what do you think? I don't think it's a great hire. What do you think is going to happen?
I think he's going to get them. Here's what I think. I think he's going to stay there for 4 or 5 years. They're going to get to, they'll go to 3 bowls in that time, and he'll leave it in a better place. And they will then get an up and coming coordinator from, you know, Western Kentucky or wherever, who will then, probably step them back to where they were. I think it's a pretty good hire, and I think it's about the best they could have done. It's definitely the safest thing they could have done. But I also agree with all the things you said about Les, but I still think he's a better coach than what was available despite those things. So.
Yeah. You're probably right.
Let's see. Let's actually skip what's next on stuff. Did you see the Archer Sitkowski interception?
No, that's a person.
Person, and I put a link in the show notes. I want you to watch that now.
This will be fun.
This is fun. If you don't know, Archer Sitkowski is the quarterback of Rutgers.
All right, I'm watching it. It's
probably going to be an ad. I'm sorry.
There is an ad. It's the Nissan Heisman House, brought to you by Breitbart. Herschel Walker is throwing buns and hitting Puddles the Duck from Oregon in the face with buns. Okay, here we go.
Stunning audio. This is great.
Can you hear that?
I can't hear anything, no.
Oh, sorry. I should have been narrating then. So what am I supposed to be looking for in that interception, other than that it was a terrible pass?
Yeah, it might be the worst pass ever.
Okay, let me watch it again.
So
he's dropping back, first and 24. He's not pressured. Nope. He throws off his back foot. There's no one.
Yes.
No one. No one around. So the commentators think he's trying to throw it away. Ooh, he has 18 interceptions this season, which is more than. Oh, wait. He threw a second one.
He did. Yeah.
Gosh. That was bad. That was real bad.
So, Rutgers football. Just as a reminder, wait, did Kansas beat Rutgers or did Rutgers beat Kansas? I can't even remember now.
I don't know that I know.
Let's find out. Okay. Up next.
How did you see that? Were you watching it live?
No, that one I saw on Twitter, and was like, this is incredible. Oh, Kansas beat Rutgers 55-14. That's right. That's what happened.
Wow.
Yeah. So not a great year for Rutgers. no surprise there.
Just copy and paste that tweet into in eternity.
Yeah. All right. Did you see the Mike Gundy rant?
I read about it on Twitter.
So
should I pull it up?
No, I got it. I'm gonna go off on this for a minute. I'll get to what he said. So, Mike Gundy, who I have long loved as a coach, I don't know how old he is now, but he did the "I'm a man, I'm 40" thing, where he kind of lost his mind. That was, that was heartwarming and charming. I found. He grew a mullet just to piss his kids off. Incredible, right? I mean, that's right. Just great.
You like that.
And he still has it. It's been 2 years now. So he was asked after the game about his safety, Oklahoma State safety, who has not played since week 4, is transferring out for playing time. So this was Gundy's response. I think we live in a world where people are non-committal. We allow liberalism to say, hey, I can really just do what I want and I don't have to be really tough and fight through it. You see that with young people because it's an option they're given. We weren't given that option when we were growing up. In the world today, there's a lot of entitlement. This is a man who makes $5 million a year bullying teenagers. Just to put the entitlement in perspective there. Then he goes on, I'm a firm believer in the snowflake. I think it's setting there. And I'm not talking about Thabo, and that's the safety. Thabo and I have had multiple good talks. I'm talking about every millennial young person, Generation Z, I think is what they call them. It's the world we live in because they say, well, it's a little bit hard. We say, okay, well, let's go try something else versus, hey, let's bear down and let's fight through this. So you see a lot of that nowadays, and that doesn't have anything to do with him or anybody that's been on the portal here. I don't know what the portal is. I guess transferring out puts you on a portal. I don't know. That's just general society. Even if we're working down here at Walmart, your boss gets after you and tells you that you're not doing a good job. You may go home and cry and tell your mom, but your mom may say it's okay. That's just kind of the facts of life, the world we live in today. And then he says, don't get me on politics.
Okay.
Was that not politics? You blamed liberalism. I could go off on this for a while, but a couple things here. Again, his salary is $5 million per year. Let's put aside the fact that he is the leader of these young men he's essentially criticizing. I guess he's not the leader of all Generation Z, as he put it. But his generation did raise every single one of those people he's criticizing. That's right. So do you know where he played his college football at?
Oklahoma State, right?
Yeah. Do you know where he first committed to?
No.
Oklahoma. Ooh. He decommitted because he didn't think he'd get any playing time. He's also fine with people being noncommittal when he's filling holes in his own roster, which has quite a few transfers on it. So, in short, fuck Mike Gundy.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you.
I just couldn't believe this. So, you know, the rant, he goes on a lot of rants, and I should have known that this was sort of hiding in there, but it really bummed me out, especially when he did the exact same thing when he was at their age. So,
yeah, I'm with that hot take. I'm not feeling that.
Yeah, not good. All right. What else we got in stuff?
Couple quick hitters. Miami star wide receiver Jeff Thomas was kicked off the team for missing practice on Wednesday.
Just one practice?
One practice. We're talking about practice, not a game, not the playoffs, not a bowl game.
So is he going pro or what? I don't know what, you know, what year he is.
I don't know what year he is either. I didn't do that much research, but there is something beeping in the room that I'm in and I can't figure out what it is.
Just let it happen, man.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, I keep hearing it. Yeah.
You keep hearing it?
Yeah.
Can you take this? This is like a episode of. Thanks. Do you want to say hello to the podcast?
Hi, Pod. Hi, listeners.
All five of you.
All five of you.
Wow. 2 weeks in a row, she makes the podcast and she's already throwing shade.
Already. Well.
Anyway, sorry about that. So this is Miami's like stud wide receiver. I mean, this is like if South Carolina kicks off Debo.
Yeah.
And I mean, you shouldn't miss practice. And I'm sure that he's a sophomore. I'm sure that, you know, Mark Richt and whoever else like had a decent reason to do it. Cause you know, this isn't like the first time that Mark Richt has coached a football team. So, but I will tell you, that the Miami fans are not happy. would like for Rick to not be the coach anymore.
Wow.
So yeah, this is like their, like most people consider this their most talented wide receiver.
Well, Mark Richt is a principled man. Just kidding. He's not at all. He definitely played criminals at Georgia. So, but don't miss practice, apparently. I don't know. I agree. There's probably a lot more to this, and the missing practice was probably the last piece of it. But yeah. All right. Next point.
Can I?
Yeah. Get into this. What is this?
Interim head coach of your Colorado Buffs.
Ooh.
Kurt Roper.
Wow. Wow.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. I mean, sort of. So actually, no, I don't. Colorado was quite good last year. So this seems surprising. What's the
deal? So they fire McIntyre for having not that great of a season, and then appoint quarterbacks coach Kurt Roper as the interim head coach with one game to go.
I mean, that's a thing you can do. Don't know I'd do it, but all right.
What, let him coach your football team?
Yeah, that specifically, yes.
Fun fact, they they're going to go play Cal, and Brandon McIlwain is on the Cal football team's quarterback, who used to play for the Gamecocks, or he didn't play, but you know.
He was there.
They know each other.
He knows Kurt. Yeah, they're tight.
Yeah, apparently McIntyre went 30-44 at Colorado, and that's not good enough. So, he was named the coach of the year in 2016 after they took the Buffs to the Pac-12 championship game. And he had a $10 million buyout.
Man.
Athletic director said 6 weeks ago, we're 5-0 and the talk of the country. That's where Colorado should be every year and every season. We should be the talk of the country, but we're not there, and that's why I made the decision.
Well, good luck with that. Les Miles is taken, so enjoy.
I think he has delusions of grandeur.
Yeah. I mean, Colorado has – I've said this a few times, I think, over the seasons. Colorado has won a national title fairly recently. I think 92. Yeah. So definitely the modern era, definitely like in my lifetime. It feels like that's the only thing they've ever done somehow. But they did do that. So that's kind of a weird place to be, because it's not a thing you see with any other team I can remember. That is just generally not a good team that has also somehow won a national title. So let's talk rivalries. You want to do that?
Yeah, we're going into Rivalry week.
Rivalry.
And yeah, do you have a favorite rivalry that is not Clemson, South Carolina?
Yeah.
Like a game that for whatever reason you've just always liked to watch?
You know, I do love, I definitely love the modern Iron Bowls. Just because they tend to be crazy. And they tend to have big implications. I don't know if it's I think my favorite rivalry, and it's not really the games, is Michigan-Ohio State.
That's a good one.
They will not use the letter M or the letter O in things, which is just so petty and dumb. And all these rivalries are dumb on some level, but I don't know. There's just something to it. You know, 2 years ago, I think Jim Harbaugh went to the grave of, what's his name? What's the great Michigan coach? That's not Jim Harbaugh. Crap. Anyway, It'll come to us at some point. He literally took a bunch of people to his grave and put a Buckeye on it and hit it with a hammer. He broke a Buckeye with a hammer on their coach's grave. Like that was
talking about Shimbachler.
Yeah. To Bo's grave. Like in no other spectrum of culture would that be an okay or think you certainly would not be like, oh, let's make that guy a let's pay that guy $7.2 million per year. The guy who brings a crowd of people and a Buckeye and a hammer, who also got smoked in that game the next day too, by the way.
Yeah, they did.
It's just like the meatheady. It's like the consistently meatheadiest of the rivalries. So I kind of enjoy it for that. What do you think? And I'm gonna hang up and listen because I'm gonna go get a beer.
Ooh, okay.
BRB.
Beer RB. That's for the listeners because he was not here to benefit from that fun pun that I just made. My favorite rivalry is probably, I mean, it was Miami FSU growing up, but I think I'm going to say Georgia Tech. I grew up going to that game almost every year, it seems like, with my dad. Shout out to my dad, listener of the podcast, friend of the podcast, basically dad of the podcast. Going to the Georgia Tech game because he went to Georgia Tech. And so that was always fun because we would fly into Atlanta every year and would either stay in Atlanta or drive to Athens. And it was pretty fun. So when it was in Atlanta, we got to do the fun stuff that he did in college and eat at the Varsity and do Atlanta stuff. And so it was always really fun. So I would say my favorite non-Carolina rivalry is Georgia Tech.
Cool. That's a good one.
Fun fact, my dad, when he was a student at Georgia Tech, drove to Athens and stole the big, massive bronze bulldog. What's the statute of limitations on that? It's probably 1979. He may or may not have stolen the bronze bulldog outside the stadium.
They gave it back. It's fine.
They did give it back. You're right. But they took it to graduation at Tech and I think let people take photos with it.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Let's get into questions. Hey, this is a great segue.
It is a great segue. So I've got the first question. Question from wife of the podcast. She texted me and said, can you tell the pod I'm sorry for being a jerk and that I hope they have a happy Thanksgiving?
Nice cover.
So nice of her to apologize for insulting our listener base and the number of listeners we have, which I can prove through the magic of technology that we get more than 5 downloads per week.
Yeah. High double digits.
High double digits.
Well, let's keep it in the family then. Our first question is from, or that was more of a statement, I'll say, from Calvin Babcock, your father, friend of the pod, dad of the pod. He writes in, is Alex Honnold climbing El Capitan the most impressive athletic achievement of 2018? Certainly the ballsiest. What is the over-under on how much longer he will continue his free climbing career? If it's three years, are you betting over or under? If he falls, career over. Yeah, what do you think?
Okay, so I'm a big Alex Honnold fan, and I have been for a while before his documentary film that just came out, Free Solo. You should go check it out. It documents him free climbing, free solo climbing. One of the routes on El Cap, which is kind of the epicenter of rock climbing in North America. And free solo climbing, for those of you who are not aware, is when you climb without a rope.
Yeah.
And it would be the most impressive athletic achievement of 2018, except he didn't do it in 2018. I think he did it in 2014.
I think it's 2017.
Was it 2017? Okay. Anyways, yeah, it totally is. He's the LeBron James of rock climbing. And
so you mean overrated? Just kidding.
How dare you?
LeBron.
How dare you?
I love you, LeBron.
No, I mean the best living person and potentially one of the best of all time. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, this is basically like, this is not the hardest climb in the world, the route that he did, but it's a super advanced route for the general climber. And so the fact that he did it in a ridiculous amount of a short amount of time with no rope is crazy. So yeah, it's totally the most impressive athletic achievement of whatever year he did it in.
Yeah, I agree. It might be the most impressive athletic achievement of my lifetime, I think.
It's really crazy.
It's yeah. And if you haven't seen, just Google El Capitan and just look at a photo of that thing. And just imagine being up there without a rope. So one thing, so I pulled him up on Wikipedia, just cause I thought it was funny. Just note about his personal life. Honnold has lived in a van for over a decade.
Yeah.
And then he says, and I quote, "I don't think van life is particularly appealing."
Yeah. Yep. So he lives in a van cause he drives around and climbs. Yeah. Although he moved to Las Vegas now. So he actually lives outside Las Vegas now.
Correct. Yeah. So he didn't, about his Las Vegas home, he didn't have any furniture at first. So he lived in the van in the driveway for the first couple weeks. And he also got a new van. So, also he says, basically I'm Mormon except for the God thing. He doesn't drink alcohol or caffeine or use drugs, and he's a vegetarian. Also, I would not use drugs of any type, if I climbed, giant flat walls with no ropes for a living. So good on him. Oh, wait, over under 3 years.
Over. Way over.
Free climbing. Yeah, I'm going to go over, but I think his free climbs become much safer from here on out.
Yeah, he doesn't free climb all that. I mean, he definitely free climbs more than none, more than I do. But he's also like a pretty accomplished, like I think they call trad climber.
Yeah.
So he does climb stuff with ropes.
All right.
He's just a badass. Last thing I'll say about Alex Honnold is super interesting dude. He's really bright and well-spoken. He has two appearances on the Joe Rogan podcast that are totally worth checking out. And the way that he assesses risk is super, like the way that he talks through assessing risk before a climb is really interesting. So I would definitely recommend those podcasts.
Let's see, up next from at London Shelley on Twitter, friend of the pod, Shelley. She says, "Who's going to win the Stanley Cup this year?" I'll let you take this one at first.
I'm going to go Sharks, San Jose. Ooh. Sharks.
The Homer pick.
I don't know. We're in first place right now. That's good enough, right?
Yeah. I'll tell you who's not going to win: the Pittsburgh Penguins. My favorite team. They're tied for the least wins so far in the NHL season.
Ooh.
Which is depressing because they've won. They're the only good team I follow, basically. I guess except the Saints. So seeing them not be good is kind of depressing. And they have the LeBron James of hockey on their team. So yeah. I think that the final this year is going to be Maple Leafs and Predators. And I think the Predators win in seven. Because they have the better goalkeeper, Pekka-Rinne. So Predators in seven over the Maple Leafs.
I hate the way that like the broadcast guy for whatever, for Nashville's thing says Pekka-Rinne. It's so annoying. Yeah, I mean, it's not the Sharks. I mean,
Sharks.
The Sharks are plus 1200 right now to win the Stanley Cup, which are like the seventh best odds that you can get. But the Maple Leafs are the odds out favorite at plus 650.
Who's
Tampa Bay Lightning.
What? Okay.
And the Predators are third.
Okay.
So
I feel
would
good.
You bet a dollar to win $6.50 that the Maple Leafs win?
No.
Would you bet a dollar to win $8.50 that the Predators win?
I would, yeah.
Well, you can do that. It's called gambling.
All right.
If you bet a dollar and Dude, the Penguins have better odds than the Sharks do. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, that is weird.
I think it's just because they're the Penguins and they've.
Yeah. And I think the Penguins are going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're the worst team in hockey, but they are not off to a great start. So.
Well, thanks for the hockey question, Shelly.
Hashtag run the puck.
She has moved on from college football, I guess, based on how the Mississippi State Bulldog season has gone.
It could be. That could be. Football question.
Football question.
From the DA Pal, at the DA Pal on Twitter. Why won't more teams run the triple option? Is it about Cruton?
That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to get a good quarterback and good wide receivers to come play for your team if you're going to run that.
Yep.
But you also don't need great wide receivers and quarterbacks. But you do need them. I mean, you need someone to play that position and then like go block. And so you're basically signing up to play in a system where you're not going to do the thing that you think you can do good.
Yeah. You know, I think recruiting is a big part. I think the other part is just there's a lot of really good dynamic offenses now that kind of pick out the best pieces of the triple option without committing to only doing that. And I think it's in football in general now, but especially at the college level, you have enough time to where it's almost a waste to do the triple option because you have time to teach them so much more. You know, part of the thing with the triple option, I think, is you can basically install it in the weekend, you know? And actually we saw, funny enough, that's what the Citadel did against Alabama. Citadel is not a triple option team, but we're running it because they got so many people hurt. So, I think that's part of it. That said, I do wish more teams would run it. I wish every conference had like one team that ran it and just pissed everybody off.
What if you had to do that?
Like, we're the Pac-12. Well, we're the Pac-11. We're looking for a 12th must run triple option. Go. Also, could you imagine playing like Washington State and then Navy in consecutive weeks or whatever, Yeah, that would be infuriating as a defensive coordinator or a head coach or a player. So,
or a fan.
Yeah.
I also think that there's a shortage of coaches that know the offense well enough to coach it and want to at the college level.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Because I think it pigeonholes the shit out of you as a coordinator.
Yeah, right. I mean, you can't ever... Yeah. I mean, first of all, your highest ceiling is like a pretty low level college football team.
Right.
Like you could be the coach of Georgia Tech. Or at least at this point, that's the best job available. So, yeah. And I think it's mostly not necessary in today's game.
Yeah, that's probably the best answer.
That said, when it's operating well, like when Georgia Tech is cruising on somebody, it's pretty fun to watch. It's pretty brutal. You know, so, that's why, but I think we both wish there was more of it. What's up next?
Next question. Mason C. Moore on Twitter at Mason C. Moore. Mason hits us with, what's your preview of the most important game in the country this week? Boise State versus Utah State. How terrible is it that Game Day snubbed the only good game this week? Does the winner make the playoff? Man, Mason coming with the heat.
The heat. This is a really exciting game. Both these teams are ranked. We're going to pick this game. Utah State, number 21, number 23, Boise State. I'm not surprised Game Day snubbed this. You do have a Michigan-Ohio State, which everybody loves, both in the top 10. So, does the winner make the playoff? No. I don't think so. Do you?
No. If Utah State wins, they could potentially be in a New Year's Six Bowl, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the – does the winner make a New Year's Six Bowl? Probably.
Only if it's Utah State.
Probably. Yeah. Oh, is Boise doesn't have a chance there?
I guess not. Maybe. They're ranked 23. They lost to Fresno State. I think Utah State's the hope, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Who's going to win? Well, we're going to pick this game, so let's save the preview for then, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. So we got some questions from our boy, Mike Wong, one of which we answered already. So, Mike.
Yes.
Don't ask these questions next week, and also rewind 20 minutes to hear our answer to number two. His first,
or you've already heard it.
I don't know. I think Mike just skips ahead to what he wants to. He's like to his cameo. not really. Okay. So what's the better name for a supper club, Taste Buds or Boys to Menu?
Do you want to give some context on this question?
Yeah, so I'm in a supper club called Taste Buds, as I've mentioned many times, and you are in a supper club newly minted as Boys to Menu. So I'm going to say I'm going to answer this as Taste Buds is better because A, I'm in it, and B, we're a more inclusive group, and then so that makes the name better. We accept men, women,
gender nonconforming,
just. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I don't even know. No, I'm just kidding.
Zimzers.
So, yeah. No, actually, as just a name, I think Boys to Menu is incredible. So, kudos to you.
Yeah. So, we were meeting for dinner. The point of the dinners for us was really more about the guys being able to catch up. And I think yours is maybe slightly more restaurant focused.
Yeah.
Although I realized that we had this similar practices in that it rotates each month who chooses where we're going.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? This is basically Taste Buds West Coast. So follow us on Instagram at Boys to Menu. And are you guys just at Taste Buds?
We are at... So... To tell you how original our idea is, let me find our Instagram handle. I think it's at the Taste Buds NOLA because it was, the Taste Buds NOLA. Because Taste Buds was taken, Taste Buds NOLA was taken, the Taste Buds NOLA, now taken by us.
Can you believe that Boys to Menu was not taken? Well, to be fair, the two is the number two.
No, I think it's really... It seems obvious once you made it, but I don't think it was obvious before then.
Boys to Menus was taken though, but that we weren't looking for that. So
that's really strange.
Question number three from Mike Wong: would you make any changes to the South Carolina coaching staff for 2019?
No, I don't think I have any specifics. Do you?
No, I don't think I don't know that we have a coaching issue.
Yep.
I mean, I would take Nick Saban. I mean, is that on the table?
I'd like to change. I'd like to have 17 more coordinators who just watch film. That would be nice. If that's not what he meant, but that's how I'm going to answer it.
Well, those are all our questions.
Yeah. Let's go.
What are we doing next?
Let's do picks. Let's pick some games. I'm going to have my son come in because he wanted to do picks today. I have no idea how this is going to go. Oh, here he is. Also, if the audio gets real terrible now, it's because we're sharing a microphone. But we're going to see how this goes, except I can't click on the settings. So I really have no idea what's going to happen here.
You can't click on the settings.
I can click on the settings, but it doesn't do anything. I think that's by design. I can't change the audio output. So, Jonah, let's try this. Put this in your ear, in your left ear. Left, your other left. Hold on. I'm sorry. That was your left. I'm an idiot. Can you hear? Okay. Okay. We can hear you. All right. So we're going to.
Hey, dude. Here.
Hey.
So we only picked three games last week because it was a terrible week.
Yes.
How'd we do?
So Chase went 2-1. I went 1-2. Jonah went 2-1 and Elijah went 2-1. So everybody's plus 500 except me.
Dad's just a bad failure. He can't guess it right.
Well,
yeah, really, that's really making a scene here, son.
Pretty aggressive. Well, Jonah, he's doing better than I am this season. So if your dad's a bad failure, then I don't know what that makes me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
no idea.
So let's talk about overall. So overall, Chase is 33-26-2. That's good for 54.1%. I'm 38-21-2, which is good for 62.3%. Jonah is 28-13, which is good for 68.29%.
Wow,
in the lead. And then Elijah is 24-17, putting him at 58.54% on the season. So. Yeah, man, I guess when you know your stuff like you do, Jonah, you can gloat like that, huh?
I just have magical powers. I can read. I could read football games.
Great. All right, so let's get into this week's picks. It being Thanksgiving weekend, we've got and rivalry week, we've got a lot of good games, and we've got them spread out over a few days. So we got a couple games Friday, the first one of which is number 6, Oklahoma at number 13, West Virginia. Oklahoma is favored by 2 here. Who you got, Chase?
Man. I'm going to take West Virginia. I don't like Oklahoma's defense. I don't think they tackle well. I think they score a lot of points, and I think so does West Virginia. This is going to be a fun game. I don't know what the over-under is on this game, but this will be a fun one for sure. But I'm going to take the Mountaineers.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I feel like West Virginia is sort of the most likely to just like just come out and play very poorly. According to ESPN, the over-under is -1. So I'm going to take the over on that.
it is. That's really funny.
So I'm going to take West Virginia as well for the same reasons. Oklahoma cannot tackle for anything. Who you got, Jonah?
I'm with you. I'm with you on WVU. So,
can you say Country Roads Take Me Home?
Country Roads Take Me Home.
Thank you.
Not that often listener of the podcast. My mom was happy that you referenced her in that pick that one time, but wanted you to know that she's a Marshall fan, not a West Virginia fan.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's good to know.
Yeah. She's from Huntington, basically. That's where Marshall is. So,
Who we got next?
Also on Friday, we've got the number 13 Washington Huskies traveling to Pullman, Washington, to take on the number 8 Cougs of Washington State, led by future friend of the pod, Mike Leach. The Cougars are favored by 2.5 points at home. Who you got?
I'm gonna take Wazoo. Picking Wazoo always feels like a bad idea, because anything can happen with them. But I do think they're mostly rolling as much as a Mike Leach team can be. So I'm going to, and they're playing at home. So I'm going to take Wazoo. Who you got?
I got Wazoo too. So
Any insight into the game?
What?
Any insight into the game?
No.
Okay, that's fair.
Just going with your gut.
That's like probably it. How we should behave, but we don't.
2.5 points. I mean, it's kind of a throwaway. I'm going to take Wazoo as well. I like the way they're playing. I haven't watched much Washington. So we agree.
Here. Cool. Let's see. Up next, Saturday. So now we're in the Saturday slate. We got number 4, Michigan at number 10, Ohio State. Michigan is favored by 4 points here. Who you got, Jonah?
I got Michigan. So.
So.
That's Michigan.
Okay. I'm going to take Michigan as well.
You think this is the year he gets it done?
Yeah, I think so. Urban Meyer does not look like he's in great shape mentally, emotionally, physically. Michigan's defense is very, very good. Definitely going to be the best unit on the field between the two teams. And we saw Maryland score 52 points or 50 points. I think Michigan's offense is better than Maryland's. So I'm going to take Michigan. Who you got?
I'm going to pick Ohio State. You don't like that pick, Jonah?
Jonah, we disagree sometimes.
So I went Michigan State, so I think we're going to win, and I think you are going to lose.
Wow.
Goodbye.
Wow.
Goodbye, he says. Wow. Up next, also Saturday, number 21, Utah State at number 23, Boise State. Boise is favored by 2.5 points. Who you got?
I'm taking the Utes. I mean, what? I'm taking the Ags.
Ooh, there.
Sorry. It's embarrassing for a Utah State podcast to mess that up. It's been a long week. I'm taking the Ags. I feel as a strong Aggies fan, lifelong, one of the biggest Ags fans most people know, some would say, me. Yeah, I just like the way they're playing. We're putting up almost 50 points a game and holding people to 22 points a game. It's going to be a good matchup, though. Utah State's offense is a little bit more high-powered than Boise State's is. Their defenses have both been playing well. Man, how fun would it be if Utah State could have that game back against Michigan State?
Yeah, they'd probably win that game now, right? Feels like it anyway.
Yeah. Who are you taking?
I'm going to take Utah State as well. I think they're just the better team here. Both good teams. Should be a fun game. It's going to be on the Smurf turf in Boise. But yeah, we are nothing if not homers for our Utah State Aggies. So Utah State. Who you got, Jonah?
Utah State gonna win this.
Yep. Can you say go Ags?
Go Ags.
There you go. And then last and certainly least, we have our beloved South Carolina Gamecocks traveling to number 2, Clemson. Clemson is favored by 26.5 points, and I think we need to discuss this line. Joni, you want to take this one first? Who you got here?
I went with South Carolina, but I think I should have fought this through. So,
hey, you can change your pick.
If I was going to change my pick, it would be Clemson. So,
okay, why are you taking Clemson?
I just think they're going to win this one. So,
you and everybody else.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that's actually probably the most astute observation we've had on this podcast in year three. So. Good work, son. So, Chase, what did you expect this line to be coming into this game?
I thought it would be around here. I get why South Carolina fans have expected this to be a bigger spread, but it's rare that you are going to see a Power Five conference team with a winning record be an underdog north of 30 points. It's just not common.
Wait, so you thought the feedback you got was people thought it, South Carolina fans thought this would be a higher spread?
Oh, yeah. Read some of the Twitter reactions, people have been saying, like, we're going to get beat by a lot more than 26.
Oh, okay. So, I guess I could see that, but, like, we were a 30-point favorite over Chattanooga. So, 26.5 feels like a ton to me. It also feels mostly right, but that's just a lot of points for
It is a lot of points.
Two, as you said, Power Five teams. Okay. Well, who you got?
Sorry, I thought you were asking because much of South Carolina Twitter responded that they thought we'd get beat by more than that. So I thought that's where you were going with that. My bad. I'm actually going to take the Gamecocks. I think this is a pretty favorable spread for the Gamecocks. I think Clemson is really good. I think Clemson has had a pretty crappy schedule. Like, they haven't played any teams that are really good, but they've beaten everybody pretty soundly. But I think of the teams that we know to be decent, their most impressive victory over a team that's probably decent was a 41-7 smackdown of NC State. But the teams that are pretty decent, the margin of victory has not been that high. They beat Duke by 29. Duke's not good. They beat Boston College by 20. Boston College seems to be having a pretty good season. Syracuse is okay. They only beat them by 4. Beat Georgia Tech by 28. Georgia Tech is fine. Texas A&M by 2. So, I mean, their smackdowns have really been teams that we know are bad. So, Wake Forest, FSU, Louisville. So I think this game's going to be a lot closer than 26 points. I don't think we're going to win. But I actually think this is a more intriguing matchup than most people probably want to give it credit for. Clemson is averaging more points per game and is allowing less points a game than we are. So there's not even a distinctive advantage between the two teams. Clemson basically has the advantage. Outright, but we do have pretty comparable totals for passing yards, for not allowed, but for completed. So comparable passing attacks, if you can believe it.
Right. I'm going to take South Carolina as well. I was leaning that way, and you definitely talked me into it. This is going to be one of the more difficult games Clemson plays this season. I don't think South Carolina wins this game, though I do think South Carolina has a better chance than certainly the national media and the casual football fan would probably think. That said, Clemson is number 2 for a reason. They have played in every college football playoff so far, I believe. They're a very good team, and this, I don't think they'll cover the spread, but if there is also a universe where this game goes their way and they win by a lot more. So I guess we'll see. I'm excited for the game. Go Gamecocks.
Yeah.
All right. Picks. Chase, did you eat or drink anything good this week?
Well, I'm in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. So just kidding. Yes. And actually, I'm going to shout it out to Fond du Lac, also known as Fondy. Last night, we went to... What's that?
It's not called Fondy, is it? That's not true.
Yeah, that's like the nickname.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
It's affectionate. We went to a seafood shack type restaurant last night called Salty's. Family favorite for my wife's side of the family from this area. And I had fried walleye.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a fish, comes from a lake. Comes from the lake that we were sitting next to. So that was pretty cool. And it was good. It was really good. Had a salad bar. Salad bar had some hot bacon salad dressing. So put a little of that on my salad with some peppercorn dressing. It was a spinach salad, so don't worry, didn't have any romaine.
Oh, good.
And I got a baked potato with my walleye, and I put some hot bacon dressing in the baked potato as well.
All right.
So that was good. They do a thing called double bubble, which is when you order a drink and then they give you two of them. So I ordered a Maker's on the Rocks to start. And just as a heads up, they're not pouring measured shots. So they are filling a rocks glass with ice and then turning the Maker's Mark bottle upside down until the glass is full. So I thought my double bubble was just the pour I got, but it was not because I got a second one. But the best thing I've had to drink here is probably a local cream ale called Spotted Cow, another Wisconsin beer. So I'm going to say that the thing, best thing I've had to eat in the last week was the walleye fish and the Spotted Cow cream ale.
Awesome.
How about you?
Jonah's clapping for some reason. Please stop.
Maybe he's excited about the food I had.
Yeah, Jonah, did you have anything good to eat or drink this week?
Not really, but it... No.
No, just a no. Just a solid no.
Everything normal.
What about how much Halloween candy do you think you have left?
I would show you if this wasn't a podcast, but I have probably like 6,000 left.
6,000 candies?
You know what's weird? I was barely even gonna get any. I was just gonna have a little bit, but then I came. But my mom told me to go trick or treating for Eli since he's allergic to dairy. So I ended up with like a whole bunch of candy. Because if I accidentally got chocolate instead of like a fruit thing, then it would end up in my bag, and I couldn't like give it to anybody else. So
yeah, yeah, Jonah.
So he doubled down.
He had like a triple bubble of candy for Halloween. It was so much candy. So I've enjoyed that as well. That's fun. I went to a restaurant, Carmo, here in New Orleans, which is sort of a hippie bohemian sort of. It's not vegan, but it's like if you were a vegan, it's pretty friendly place to go. But they also do a lot of seafood, and they have a nose to tail fish plate. So it's basically it's a bunch of fried fish parts. So I ate a couple cheeks and a collar and some ribs. That was something I hadn't really done before, so that was really tasty. Drink-wise, I don't think I've had anything particularly exciting. I did have – actually, I'm drinking it now – Terrapin Brewery out of Athens, Georgia. Here in New Orleans, they have their Moohoo Chocolate Milk Stout.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a tasty holiday treat. So that's what I had to drink.
Nice.
All right. Well, let's send Jonah away here. Let's get a round of applause for Jonah. Good job. Good picks. You're the champion this year. I really like that. So,
come on. Way to go, Jonah.
Do you have any parting words for us?
Goodbye.
All right.
That's good content.
That's great content. All right. So, as we say every week, follow us on Twitter, iTunes, email, Delectable, Airbnb, Yelp, Breitbart.com/collegefootball is our sponsor this week. Sign up for their newsletter.
Don't actually give them the hits.
That can't actually exist, right? Let's just find out real quick. Breitbart.com/. I'm using an incognito browser, just in case. Page not found. Ooh, they don't have even like a good 404 situation. So now I'm just going to Google Breitbart College Football and see what we get. This is great. This will be tied to my search history forever. There is Breitbart.com/sports. Let's see what we got here. Let's just peruse this. Bucks DeSean Jackson, geez, revelry, to wear Black Lives Matter Rodney King cleats. This article only has 5 comments that I'm not going to read.
Oh my God, dude, you found the worst corner of the internet possible.
Aaron Rodgers' brother accuses QB of hypocrisy over response to California wildfires.
We literally do not have the time to get into that topic.
Snowflakes forecast. Massachusetts high schools reschedule Thanksgiving football games due to cold.
Okay. I can't. Thanks for listening to this week of Run the Draw.
It sucks.
Happy Thanksgiving. I hope that you all get a chance to enjoy each other's company and have some food. And next week when we ask if you had some good things to eat or drink, that something that you eat tomorrow is one of those things. Because that's all that matters in life when there are websites like Breitbart.
Don't talk to your family about politics and hashtag run the giblets.
Last actual closing words. Fuck Clemson. All the way to hell. Go Cox.
Cox by 9. I'll take by 9.